Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. This is always like the nervous part. How do I start my every episode? But
so we're starting.
Let's start. Hey, let's start. Welcome to the start of the episode. It's your girl, Christina, and I'm here with beautiful Jodell Rogers. Thanks for coming to my little podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Yay. What have you been up to today?
I have to can peaches. I have a neighbor that has these beautiful peach trees, and she's trying to get rid of them. I mean, well, not the trees. She's trying to like give away her fruit because she can only can so much. And so she invited me to come pick some, and I need to get rid of peaches. And so I'm going to be in canning mode when I get back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I thought you were going to say as I'm canning peaches today. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. So I feel like we met way back when I worked at Halo in Meridian.
Yes, that's when they opened. It was, I think, 2016. Does that sound right?
Sure.
I think so, because that was the start of my yoga journey. And so,
and I didn't realize that until like years later. And you were in our teacher training. And then we very recently, I feel like, how long have you been teaching for us at Hollywood Market Yoga?
A little over 1 year.
And you're amazing.
You're so nice.
I'm incredibly grateful for you. And the thing about Jodell, you guys, is you are so kind and so humble. But if you look at her Instagram, she is a pro. And you're exceptional at explaining how you get into these pretzel yoga shapes.
I'm learning. It's all part of my journey. But I started doing just those fun little Instagram challenges, the yoga challenge, just because it was that online community was kind of a fun way to learn for me. And mm-hmm. So I met a lot of amazing people through Instagram. And so it's just been fun. It's like my yoga playtime. I have to be really careful about explaining to people, this isn't my normal yoga practice. My normal yoga practice is very boring, I guess, traditional, like mm-hmm. sun salutations, you know, warm-ups, warriors. But honestly, those poses represent like maybe 1% mm-hmm. of my playtime yoga. I mean, most of it is just very traditional, and that's the foundation of my yoga, right? But that Instagram is kind of deceiving because it's just the fun play part. It's not really what I bust out in class or anything, or even really teach.
When did you start posting on Instagram your yoga stuff?
Well, I started on like my personal account, and I just felt really awkward because I'm like, this is like my personal. So I just created a whole separate Jodell Yoga. I'm on Instagram as Jodell Yoga, and I just I created that just so I could, you know, photo dump on there, you know, and mm-hmm. just solely just do yoga fun poses. And so I guess when was that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a couple of years after I started, maybe 3 years, I think. I'm guessing 3 years. Sure.
What was your first yoga class?
That I took?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Halo had, they were advertising that they were going to open up. It was the sister studio to Hollywood Market. And so it was in Meridian, Idaho. But anyway, so I saw these advertisements for a new yoga, hot yoga studio. And I'm like, I was 36 years old at the time. And I'm like, I need something in my life. I just was at that point where I would just, I had three kids, mother of three kids, you know, I'm just so drained. I needed something in my life. And so I needed a change. And so I read about what to bring to hot yoga before you go. And I read on there, okay, bring a towel, you know, and water. And so in my head, I don't know why, but I figured a towel was like a washcloth to like kind of blot your forehead every once in a while. I had no idea that you'd be like swimming in a puddle of your sweat. Like that didn't even occur to me. So I walk in at like a 5:45 a.m. class and Cami was teaching and yes. Sweet, wonderful Cami. Like she says, welcome, you know, like, is this your first time? I'm like, yes. And she's like, did you bring a towel? And I was like, yep. I just held up my washcloth and I'm like, so proud of that. And she's like, she didn't even like make fun of me. She just said, oh, here. And she handed me a Yogi Toes towel and she explained to me how to lay it on my mat. And I was like, okay. But she just was so welcoming and encouraging. And I know I came back because of her, just because I felt so welcome and I didn't feel like, okay, you're an idiot for bringing just a little hand.
Yeah, but how many people actually do that? Have you noticed since you started teaching?
I don't know. Well, I always ask. I don't know. I feel like maybe people research it better than I did. I don't know.
No, they
no?
don't.
Really?
No, people do that all the time, and they won't want you to know that they're new.
Oh.
And so they'll be like, yeah, I've got everything. I have it all. I have a towel. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then when we get in there and I see them pull out the washcloth and no towel, I'm like, oh no.
We're a hot, sweaty, slippery mess. But
So normal.
Yeah. So that was the start of my journey. And I got to be honest with you, the first time I took a hot yoga class, I was like, afterwards, I'm like, what just happened? Like that was insane. It was like unbearably hot. I'm just not acclimated to that. And I went home. And I was like, the only reason I'm going back is because I want to get my money's worth, because I did the 2-week intro.
Oh.
I'm like, I'm going to get my money's worth. And I did. By the end of 2 weeks, I was in love. I was hooked. And so for anyone that's just trying it and they have like an experience like that where they're like, oh, this is like insane, like torture on my body. But just give yourself, you know, a week or two to acclimate to it. And I don't know, if you're like me, you'll be hooked. And
did you ever take a regular yoga class or you just went skipped? Yoga intro and went straight to hot.
One yoga class before that, and it was when I was single, like 19 years old. So it was like 20 plus years ago, living with roommates in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a great story. Anyway, and my whole life I've been told you're so flexible and stuff. So I just was like, I could turn my, you know, my hips are really like, I have alien hips. I can like, I've always been able to put my feet behind my head. It's just, so people, you know, that are like that, they're like, oh, you should try yoga, you know? I'm like, now I know that it's way more than about that, right?
Yeah.
It's not about that at all. But anyway, so I went to this yoga class and it was this guy teaching. It was in a, there was like 50 people in there. My first yoga class, and he had us go into Baddha Konasana, butterfly pose with the soles of the feet together. And then he had us forward fold in it. And with my hip anatomy, I can just lay flat down, like no issues. I don't even feel anything when I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a stretch for me.
So wow.
He came up to me like while everyone's holding this pose and he like planked on me. Like it was weird.
Was that when the plank challenge was going on?
No, this was I don't even think internet was invented.
When you say he planked on you.
Locust pose on me, on my back. He laid on me.
Like his back was on your back?
No, his belly. He looked like he was like mounting me.
This was before consent
was
heard of.
So weird. And like in first yoga class, I was like, this is weird. And he just put his full body weight on me. But he was not touching the ground. He was just completely on me.
His stomach was on your back. Where were his hands?
I couldn't see. I was like kissing the floor pretty much.
Did it hurt? Did he injure you?
No. No, like I said, it and he saw that I was really flexible and I guess he was trying to get me deeper, but it was still like really awkward, I guess.
Like, did you make eye contact with him after class? Or
no,
did you avoid
him?
After?
I left and I didn't do yoga until I went to Cami, and thank goodness Cami didn't do that to me. Thank you, Cami.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm not against like hands-on assist. I mean, in fact, I love it, you know, but at the same time, that was way weird.
If that happened to you now, how do you think you would react?
I think there's a lot of trust with teachers. And so I feel like a lot of the teachers that I know, if they know me enough, they know that if they would do that, they would be fine. But if as a teacher, I'm not going to ever put my hands on someone that is completely new or that I don't know. I have to
exactly.
Like build a relationship with them
exactly.
First. So I know I don't freak them out.
Yeah, touch someone you don't know.
Yeah. So verbal cues for those people and hands-on for the people that I really know, you know, I'm familiar with their practice.
Gosh,
right?
I can only imagine like what if he had accidentally injured you and then it was your first class and your first experience with yoga and how that would have
That's so
I know
dangerous.
It was just weird. It was just weird, and I don't know. It was awkward.
Have you planked on someone since then? are you like, hey, I know
kind
this.
Of personal, Christine. No, I have not.
So that was your first experience, and then you're like, well, let's try it again. 15 years later.
Oh, like 20s. I'm old, Christine. I'm like in my 40s. So it was like I was. Yeah, I guess it was a little over 15 years later. Yeah, sure.
Sometimes I can do math. Sometimes
you're really
I can't.
Good at it. Way better than I am. Yeah. So, I was at a place in my life where, I kept getting injured. Like I kept throwing out my back and, I would just like bend over to pick up a pencil or something. And I'm like, oh, there goes my back. It was just dumb. It was just, it was kind of like a wake up call for me. Like, okay, my body's not getting any younger. It's like from here on out, I got to take care of it or else it's going downhill.
Did you ever do like dance, sports, gymnastics?
I've never been consistent with exercise whatsoever. I mean, I've tried little things, but I've never been able to like establish any kind of like routine fitness program my whole life. Like I've tried, but never like more than like, you know, I usually would, you know how like you're like, oh, I'm going to get fit and you go and you work out and then you're like sore and you can't walk for a week and then you give up. That's me. I did that multiple times. But one thing about yoga is that it's a very gentle, small transition. You know, everything is just so gradual that you do get sore during doing like working out and stuff, but it's such a subtle change that it's never like I'm never too sore to like not go to my next class. In fact, it feels good to go to the next class and kind of work out those muscles and that soreness. But it was never a very super drastic, you know, soreness or change. So it was just over time, and was really important for me because consistency in your yoga practice is really important. So physically, mentally, spiritually.
What inspired you to be consistent with your yoga practice? You did 2 weeks of it and you're like, okay, I'm hooked.
Yes. I started finding that mental shift where, like I said, I was a disheveled mother that was just, I was just so drained. I was so tired and so impatient. And so I remember a lot of the teachers would encourage you to set an intention for your practice. And so my word was always patience. For 2 years, it was patience because that is what I needed. Mm-hmm. And I started to find that mental shift of being more patient, you know, with my children. I noticed that I was a better mother, a better wife when I practiced. And then that whole idea of self-care came into my life that I realized self-care isn't selfish. It's like essential, you know, like so self-care is what really what I came for because it made me a better person all around and just elevated my whole life in every aspect.
When did your family start to notice there was a change in you?
Pretty soon after, I think. I mean, I yelled less to my kids.
Were they ever like, Mom, go to yoga, you're mad?
Yeah. No, really. And there is that, my husband too, yeah, they all noticed it pretty quickly. And they were all always very supportive of me going. I felt like, maybe it's just in my head, but sometimes I felt like kind of judged by other people. Like, oh, how can you leave your young kids at home for 2 hours to go practice yoga, you know?
And oh.
Did you? I mean.
You're hard on yourself.
Yeah, I was hard on myself. And I sometimes felt like people are like, you only do yoga. And I'm thinking, well, it's an essential part of my, you know, like you eat, you sleep. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but self-care, I think exercise and any exercise or just that mental self-care, physical self-care that you take. I mean, you can't let yourself be judged for.
It makes me think of when you're in an airplane and they say, put your mask on before you put on anyone else's mask.
Yes. I've heard that analogy. It's such the perfect analogy. Like people think like, how can I just let my child, you know, not see to my child first, but it's you can't fill from an empty cup.
If you're not eating, if you're not sleeping, how are you going to be available for someone else?
Exactly. So it's so essential that you take care of yourself so you can better love and serve those that you love. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It makes sense to me now, but I didn't realize it took me, you know, 36 years to figure that out. But
what's your self-care routine where you're like, okay, this is going to help fill my cup and make me a better mom, a better wife, a better friend, a better sister?
It's yoga for me because I feel like in order to do self-care, you need to like fulfill all physical, mental, and spiritual aspects. And I feel like, you know, I'm a multitasker. So yoga like really fills all those cups for me. Like it supports me in every single one of those aspects. I mean, like I love hiking now. I didn't grow up hiking, but now that I love hiking and I get that from hiking, but more so yoga, that whole tie of mental, physical, and spiritual.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Because like, I feel like if I'm lifting weights, I'm not having a spiritual moment. I'm not having a mental health. Actually, take that back. It's all mental health. Anything physical is mental health. But that body, mind, spirit, holistic connection is so amazing about yoga. And I think that's why I keep coming back to yoga too.
Yeah.
And in the past, I would, I was really into running, and I would do it not because I felt like I needed it. I did it because I felt like I had to in order to look good, right?
Yeah.
That was my motivation, was like, I want to look good, so I'm going to work out and be healthy because I am vain and I care about my looks. But when I started doing yoga, it had nothing to do with that at all. I didn't even think about yoga as being a physical practice to help me look good. And suddenly I loved it because it helped de-stress me. Mm-hmm. It helped me relax and feel peaceful. And I kept chasing that peaceful feeling that I'm just here for the Shavasana feeling. And when I started getting people commenting on, oh, your body looks really good, I was like, what are you talking about? It always looked good. How dare you?
How dare you?
And then I was like, oh my gosh, there's more to yoga than just feeling relaxed. It actually affects your physical health, your mental health. And I personally have been honest about my spiritual struggles. I have a really tough time with that. But sometimes I just feel this energy when I'm doing yoga where everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And that helps.
I feel like you, I mean, I love hearing about your astrology. Like, I want you to do a whole podcast on that because
we're
I'm
going
so fascinated
to.
With it. And I looked, before I came, I looked at my, so my sun sign is Pisces.
That's why I love you.
Really? Oh, okay.
We're opposite ends of the spectrum on the chart.
I know nothing about it, but
so we balance each other.
Okay. And then moon size.
What's your moon size?
Sign. Ooh. sign. Sorry, it's Scorpio, I think. I had to go look at my birth certificate. I don't know what that means. So like, I haven't even looked into it. So do a podcast so I can learn what that is.
Okay. But you'll also need to download the CoStar app.
CoStar app.
Because then on your phone, you'll have an app and you'll have your full birth chart. It's going to ask you for your date of birth, your location, and the time you were born. Mm-hmm. And that's going to show where the stars were when you were born.
Okay.
And that's how it can tell you here's where the moon was and here's where all the planets were and how that affects your personality, which is so interesting.
I love when you talk about it because I'm like, it's so fascinating to me. So yeah, okay, I'm gonna look it up. What is it called again?
CoStar.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'll show you before we leave.
Thank
and
you.
What I know about Pisces is they are a water sign. Uh-huh. They go with the flow. They're intuitive and artistic. And what I know about Scorpio is not much other than they're a fire sign, which, like, if you think fire, you think passion and boldness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So my moon sign isn't Scorpio, but it's Aries, and Aries is also a fire sign.
Uh-huh.
So
is it why we like hot yoga?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Maybe. But your moon sign also represents your internal self, and your sun sign represents your external, like who people kind of think you are, who you show to other people.
Okay.
So you show your Pisces sign, which is go with the flow, artistic, intuitive. I absolutely see that in you. But inside of you, you probably have a lot of passion and fire. And
for sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See, this is why it fascinates me. So, yeah. Okay. I love that. Okay.
Okay. Can you tell us how maybe you can relate to some of those aspects I've
just said? Yeah. So I remember when we were in teacher training. So Christina was one of my teacher trainers, and they were talking about doshas. And I remember, is it Pitta?
The fire. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I remember, I mean, I think I did the test and I think I was kind of like a balance of both. I can't remember, but I remember I felt a lot of like, I was like, I feel like I have a lot of that fire in me.
Yeah.
Like that it's kind of, it's in my practice. I mean, like I love vinyasa, I love sweating out, and I love like just, so I don't know.
Elements are interesting, especially with an elemental yoga practice where you're trying to invoke the fire element, the water element, the earth element. I think in Chinese elements, so Ayurveda is India culture.
Okay.
And then Chinese, for a lot of yin practices, it'll be like metal and wood are their elements, which I don't remember off the top of my head. But I think all that stuff is just intriguing and fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, we're just these little teeny tiny animals on this little teeny tiny planet. And so I really can't think big picture with how this all works out, but it's really entertaining for
me. It is. It's fascinating. I love it. I love learning about all that. I remember we read the Yin book?
Yin Yoga.
Yeah, the Yin Yoga book. Yes.
I think it's just called Yin Yoga.
Bernie. Oh, I forget his name, but I read it. And I remember I was so fascinated with just the principles and like the ideology taught in that, where it just kind of like in line with my own personal beliefs on a lot of things, you know, like that the opposition in all things. And I love seeing so many truths throughout so many different like cultures and beliefs. And,
yes.
And that's why I loved studying the yamas and niyamas as well. Cause I'm like, oh, those ethics and those codes that are just universal almost that anyway.
What's your favorite yama or niyama?
I forget what it's called, but it's the one that's like content, you know, like being content. Is that the one? It's like the fifth one, right?
I am terrible.
I don't remember. I look at it and I was like, I can't even pronounce that.
Megan teaches this in the teacher trainings. For anyone listening, they're like, how the hell is this lady a teacher trainer when she can't even remember the yamas and the
niyamas? I remember ahimsa. We study the ahimsa the most, I think.
Ahimsa.
And, yeah.
Is that nonviolent? If someone's listening to this, they're going to be shaking their head so hard.
We'll have them call you and you'll have them on for a podcast to set us straight.
First of all, I would also like to say it's not always about what you know. It's about knowing where to find it, and I know where to find this information. It's on a book on my bookshelf.
I think I have that same book.
I'm still a human little animal living in America. Like, give me a break. Oh my gosh.
But we're here to learn. That's what we're here for. We're just learning and growing.
It's amazing. Okay, so you did your teacher training a couple years after you started practicing yoga, and is that the same time you started posting on Instagram?
No, I think I started posting on Instagram before that, and I wasn't even going to do my
teacher training. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wasn't even, because I was going to wait till my youngest was at least a teenager, which she's only 11 now, so she was, I think, 9 at the time that I did my teacher training. So, I found out Lydia was teaching the vinyasa segment, and it was like the module, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to take that. I need to do it now, and I wasn't even planning on teaching. I just wanted to deepen my practice, because it terrifies me to like get up in front of people and talk. So you shake your head. You're shaking your head.
Many of us feel this way. But what's so helpful about yoga is we love yoga so much that we're like, okay, I'll get past my own shit and I'll do it because I love yoga.
Yes, and that's exactly what we have to do. You just have to like force yourself to do it, and you do.
And you're so good at it.
Oh, you're so nice.
You really are.
I thank you. I think you're amazing at it. I have some inspiring teachers like Christina.
I did not pay her to say that, by the way.
Of course not. I mean it. I wholeheartedly mean that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh my gosh. So when did you decide you wanted to teach yoga?
I wanted to conquer that fear I had of speaking in front of people. I'm like, I am the type that I'm like, I want to be good at things. You know, I want it. So I also, I'm also a seamstress, so I sew a lot. And I got to the point where, like, when I teach people how to sew, that mental block, you know, that brain to like mouth,
yes.
where I lose my words, it kind of like disappears when I'm teaching people sewing, because I'm so familiar with it. And it's just something so familiar to me that I just, those words freely flow in helping teaching people. And I'm like, I want to get that way with my yoga teaching, like with sharing, you know, my knowledge of yoga. I want to be able to become so comfortable and familiar. And I'm always learning. I'm still always learning. But I wanted to get to that point where I could just be so familiar with it that it came easy to me. And so I wanted to conquer it. And I'm still conquering that. I'm still working on it.
God, but I feel like I've been teaching for 8 years and I feel like I'm just now getting there.
Yeah.
For me teaching vinyasa, that hasn't been a regular thing. I teach a sequenced class, the same postures in a row, and I teach that consistently and regularly. So I'm really good at teaching this sequence of postures.
The best.
But if I teach a vinyasa where I get to be more creative and choreograph it myself, then it can get a little the brain to mouth situation you were talking about. Where I'm trying to remember my sequence so much that I'm not focusing so much on giving the cues that are needed in the room, because I'm not looking at the people in the room. I'm focusing on what's the next pose that I wanted to do. So trying to get that out of the way so I could focus on the teaching has been a big hurdle for me when I only teach vinyasa maybe once a week, maybe only 6 months out of the year once a week, because we keep changing the schedule.
Yeah.
But
I've taken your vinyasa classes and they're incredible. I love your vinyasa classes. Well, I
feel like I'm finally remembering them. So memory is a huge issue. I think yoga is helping my memory.
It has situation. To. I believe that. I can see that.
And so if you take my vinyasa class, usually there's a point where I'm forgetting what I'm doing. And then I'll say, by the way, if I'm forgetting what's going on, that means you get to go. So I give you freedom to explore the postures that you might remember.
Yeah, which I love too. And I know, and because I've done your classes where you do that. And on the third time where you let us like, okay, you know it, do it, you know, and I love that, because not everyone is like doing the exact same thing, but like everyone's just in the zone and it's beautiful.
I love that part about so yoga, good. that free part. And I think when you first start doing it, you're horrified, where you're like, wait, what? You're not going to tell us what to do. And when you get past that, then you can reach some really cool places.
Yeah. I think you have to get over that. Like, no one's looking at you. Just, I think we're so, you know, have this complex of like, everyone's staring at me. No one's staring at you.
No.
They're so focused on themselves, like trying to do their own thing.
I'm still finding myself on the wrong leg in a sequence class. I'm like, what? I just forget to listen to the teacher and I'm in my own head and I'm doing yoga. And suddenly I look around and realize, girl, you're on the wrong leg.
I still do that too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, so how long have you been a seamstress?
I started when I got married. I mean, I've sewn a little bit growing up, but I think after I got married and I started having kids, I started having babies and I'm like, I wanted to sew like baby bedding for them, baby clothes. I sewed cloth diapers, like, so I cloth diapered all my kids, all three kids. I don't know. So I've just always, I like learning new things. And with the internet now, you can find anything on the internet, like any tutorial you can imagine, you can learn anything.
And you do sewing classes for kids and adults?
No, not officially. I teach women that want to learn, you know, it's nothing official. So they'll come over, we'll have a sewing night, and I'll just help them with whatever they're working on. I also teach a girl that I've been teaching, I think three, four years. Yeah. Anyway, and we just sew different things. We help her sew her Christmas gifts. And right now she's working on a bridesmaid's dress for her mother's wedding.
Oh my God.
It's just been so amazing watching her grow and learn. And so, yeah. And I have my own daughters. And so I teach them to sew too. And if for a while they weren't interested, but they're starting to get like, Mom, can you teach me how to do this? And so anyway.
Do you teach your kids to do yoga? Does your family like
yoga? No, they have no interest. It took me years to talk my husband into trying a yoga class. And he finally did a few years ago and he loves it. He loves it now.
He comes on his own.
Yeah, he comes on his own. He actually like sees the benefits of it. And so, but my girls, I'm still working on them. I did bribe my son to take one class because he's a rock climber. And so he needs yoga. You know, they have all this pulling action. Yoga is a lot of pushing. Mm-hmm. So he needs to counter that. He needs some yoga. But I got him to take one class, but I haven't been able to get him back.
He's 15?
He's 17 now.
17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember meeting him. I don't know when you brought him to yoga.
Oh, it was at the other place I work at. It's the climbing gym. I work at a climbing gym.
Oh, okay.
Too.
So tell us everywhere you teach.
I teach at Vertical View. Climbing gym and at Hollywood Market. And I used to teach at the South YMCA, but I had to let that go because I'm chauffeuring my children everywhere.
Yes.
With all the school stuff going on. So I had to
when
let that
one
go.
When do you teach at Vertical View?
I teach Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. It's a morning flow. It's like a gentle vinyasa. And then Saturdays we just changed to 1 p.m. And I'm trying to like release some of my classes because it's hard to commit to every Saturday. So Cassidy's going to take every other week on that one. And that starts, by the time this airs, it'll be every Saturday, 1 p.m.
So if people want to take a class at the climbing gym, do they just show up?
The first class is free, which is awesome.
Oh.
And they have incredible, like they do other fitness. They do high fit and bar classes and cardio fuse and of course yoga. And I think it's like unlimited for $30 a month.
Do you like to rock climb?
I I want to be able to do it.
I want to I like need to it. Rock.
I need to, because I can't. It's so funny. People like can like, oh, you must be so strong because I can do handstands and bar balances, but I cannot do a single pull up. I can't, you know, because I never work those muscles. So I need to do climbing. I really do, to balance out all those triceps.
You don't need to do anything. You're perfect. I know, you do whatever you want to do.
It's fun. I do want to do more climbing, so I need to, but I love yoga so much.
And what's your schedule at Hollywood?
Hollywood, I teach Mondays at noon, hot hour, and then 6 a.m. hot hour on Fridays.
And yeah, we're
changing it.
We're going to change the schedule for fall. We're adding a lot more classes. Do you remember your fall schedule?
Yes. October 1st, it starts. I think I'm switching to, so Mondays I'll still be teaching at noon, but you have it listed as vinyasa. Do I get to teach vinyasa that day?
Hell yeah, sister.
Yes. I'm so excited. I just saw that.
Okay, because your vinyasa classes are dynamite. Yay. And you're so good at cueing handstands and arm balances how it works. And I'm thrilled that we're getting you on a vinyasa.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I saw that and I was like, so excited. I love the hot hour, but vinyasa is my passion. I love vinyasa.
You're so good at it too. And then you also teach online classes.
Oh, for Pure Serenity Yoga. Yes, I do. With Megan. Yep.
So didn't you just release a class recently?
Yes, it's called Closing the Gap, and it is on her website right now, Pure Serenity Yoga. And it's all about, it's tailored towards hypermobile yogis, but it's all about that difference, finding our difference between our passive range of motion and our active range of motion, and closing that gap. So I don't know, I feel like a lot of yogis are hypermobile just because they've been told their whole life that mm-hmm. you're flexible, you should do yoga. Just like me. That's why I did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm good at this because I can like go so deep. But really, that passive range without stabilizing the joints and using those muscles to stabilize those joints is really dangerous. You know, I mean, we could really just injure ourselves, our ligaments and our joints and our tendons can just, I mean, it can't sustain itself just going passively so deep without supporting with that muscle.
Have you injured yourself because of this type of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like nothing too dramatic. I've hurt my knee. It took a couple years to actually feel better, and I never went and got it checked out.
Oh, go down.
It's better now. It got better.
Okay, good. But, oh, my gosh.
And I've tweaked my back a ton, because my hips are so open that squaring my hips in, like, Warrior 3 and things like that, like, it's so much easier just to open my hips.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, I remember Shelly was really good about teaching me to square my hips down and how much core strength that took and back strength. And so I've gotten better about that. I haven't thrown out my back in like at least 3 years. So,
I always like to think of it as don't dump into your flexibility.
Yes.
Tighten and use your strength and your muscles. Yes. for folks who are hypermobile. And you put out a little promo clip, how to know if you're hypermobile. And I just, nothing about you, all about me, just rolling my eyes like, I'm barely mobile. Like, I'm definitely not hypermobile. Oh my gosh. I cannot relate to any of that.
Well, I think there's different degrees hypermobility. And I'm not the most hypermobile person. In fact, after having 3 kids, I've lost a lot.
Oh, really?
Like my back bends. I used to be really flexible in my back bends, but I would dump into my low back really bad.
Oh.
And, now I realize how much strength is required in your glutes and your thighs in order to support that low back, so you don't create that hinge, you know, mm-hmm. that dump in your low back. So
for me, as the opposite of hypermobile, where there's like barely any flexibility, mm-hmm. I've had to work to create it. But then I have to find a balance, because I would want to work so hard to be flexible like somebody like Jodelle. And then I have to recognize you're pushing yourself too hard, because I think I've injured myself trying to work on this flexibility thing. And I gain a little bit momentum, and then I push too hard. And now it takes me back like 5 steps.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
So having and creating flexibility for me looks totally different, because for back bends, I would just be in back pain all the time trying to attempt them. And so I also needed to work on strengthening my thighs and my shoulders and work on pressing more instead of just trying to go into a flexible lower back position, which I don't even have. So then I'm like, why am I doing yoga if I'm in pain? It's like, well, think about your whole body holistically and not just that piece of the back bend, because it's your whole body that's putting effort to creating it.
Exactly. And I talk about that a lot, because I am one of those people that dumps into my practice. And so like, just, I've been a lot more aware lately about, just because I can do a certain yoga pose or a bind or anything like that doesn't mean I should, because it puts a ton of strain on my joints. And so it's really kind of like you have to let the ego go, because
yeah,
you're like, I know I can do, like, I can throw, you know, I can birds of paradise, piece of cake, right? But I'm like, am I straining that shoulder too much by binding, you know? And mm-hmm. should I go for that strap just to give myself a little bit more, you know, leverage? And so anyway, I'm always constantly working on it, and I'm not perfect at it, because my ego's there, and I'm like, I love those beautiful, beautiful, like, flip grips and all those things. So,
anyway. You're so good at explaining it too on Instagram. I just love following you. Have you gotten any, like, what would you say is a really positive thing about creating your yoga account?
The friends I meet, realizing that everyone's on their own journey, and mm-hmm. they're real humans, and they're there to support you. Like, there's such a great support within the online yoga community, I feel like.
And I love it.
Yeah, and it's just been really neat to it's just been fun to meet new people online. I actually had a friend online, that an Instagram friend, that says, I'll be in Boise. And so, like, we met up, and she came to my yoga class at Vertical View.
How cool.
So fun. I was like, oh, it was just amazing to meet her in person.
That's anyway, so fun.
So it's just, these people are just human, like all of us. And we're just all on our journey, just trying our best, living our best life.
Do you ever get caught in the comparison trap when you're on Instagram?
Yeah, I do. But I've let a lot of that go. It's been easier to let that go. But I worry that that's why I worry about posting. I haven't been posting as much lately, because I'm like, I don't want people to think that this is my perfect practice, because that handstand video I took me like 20 times and I'm not gonna like post like 20 like fail clips. I should post more fail clips. I really should.
Will you?
I will
please,
for you.
For me?
I will because it's more real, you know. So I mean, a lot of times it's just these pictures that we put on, it's like my best of 20, 50, yeah. 100 attempts.
Oh my gosh. Okay, good. I'm glad that you do the same thing. I posted a photo recently of me in standing bow, and I look great. It's beautiful.
You look fantastic. I love that
picture. I love the photo. But here's the thing. I could just as easily compare my standing bow to someone else's, whose leg is actually straight up over their head, and who looks absolutely perfect. And then I could feel bad about this gorgeous photo of myself. But on this latest trip, I was standing in a river trying to do standing bow, and I kept falling and
hard.
Slipping. And there's like people around staring, like, what is this?
And the water
girl
was probably,
doing?
It was a river, so the water was moving, right?
Yeah, it was super.
Yeah,
like,
that
it was
throws
terrible.
Off your balance.
And so there's
so
all these,
bad.
These photos that are just not worthy yeah. of Instagram. But this other photo was. So I'm like, I'm going to post this other photo. And it's just so funny, like the game in our head where it's like, okay, can't post this. I'm not going to post this. This is perfect for Instagram. But just so you know, I'm not perfect.
Yeah, she is perfect, Josh. She's amazing.
You
Christine
know what?
Okay, she's not perfect, but she's incredible. She's an incredible human.
You are so sweet. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Okay, I've been thinking about this, and I had a couple ideas, but the one I decided with, I'm going to share it because I need your advice.
Oh.
Okay, so this is what about maybe a month after I first started teaching yoga, and uh-huh. it was at a fitness gym. So a very different environment and atmosphere than a yoga studio. There was about 20 people in there, and class is about to start. And I had a woman and her friend come up to me, and this woman says, just so you know, this is my friend's first time ever taking a yoga class, but I'm here and I'll help her.
Oh God.
And I was like, that's so nice of you. What a good friend. Okay, good. Okay. So they go and they set up their mats and stuff. And I start teaching. I start them in child's pose. And, like just a couple minutes in, all of a sudden I hear like this loud, like I thought someone was like calling out to me, you know, like talking to me. She was like talking over me. And I was like, is she talking to me? And I look up and it's this woman, and she's cueing her friend, like bossing her friend around, like
yeah.
how to do poses. And she wasn't even whispering. She was like talking over me. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, and then I just like, okay. And I ignored it. Like,
oh no.
Maybe one time thing. This happened the entire class.
What did you do?
That's just it. I'm so non-confrontational, and I will tell you, I mean, I hate using this word, but she was a Karen. I mean, I feel bad because every Karen I know in real life, like they're incredible people, and I feel
real
bad
life
that
Karens are amazing.
They're amazing, but like she was a stereotypical Karen.
She was a Karen for
yes,
sure.
Yes, and they scare me. They scare me so much.
Oh, there's a woman who comes to my classes who still does that, but she's really nice about it, uh-huh. and she's a yoga teacher. Well, she she did a yoga training.
Okay.
And she wants to help her friends. And so she'll be quiet and sweet about it, but she's like fixing their feet and stuff while I'm talking. Oh. And I just want to get between them and say, let them have their own experience. Yes. And let them discover this on their own. And I'm the teacher and this is my room.
Yeah, and it's the first time taking a yoga class. I'm like,
there's so much pressure already. Yes. And uncomfortableness with it being your first class. And so this friend I have who does it, like, it doesn't bother me when she does it, 'cause she only does it to her family members. Yeah. And they know her, so it's fine. And she's not being abrupt or disruptive, I'm trying to say. But I think I've talked to other teachers about this who've had the same experience, and they will be confrontational, and they'll say, hey, focus on your own practice. I got this.
Okay. Okay.
Or they're doing fine. Why don't you go back to your yoga mat? Or
okay. See, like, I needed something, because I'm like, I don't even know how to word that. I mean, obviously, if it happened in a yoga, like Hollywood Market, I would have to do something, because everyone there is serious about their practice, and like that, no one would stand for that.
Talking over the teacher. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm like, but I was like, oh, it's a gym. Oh, is it worth it? And
you're a new teacher. So this is your first time experiencing that.
Yeah. So I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. I don't think we talked about that in yoga training, did we?
Yeah. But it just kind of shocked me. I'm just like,
did it the whole time. Were people looking at her?
Yeah. But she was no self-awareness. Like, she just was just really loud, like not even trying to whisper. Like, it was like, you need to do this, and oh, stick your foot here, and just, it was crazy. I was like, what is going on?
So what is that? Let's pretend we're psychologists for a second. So if you're somebody who isn't focused on yourself and you're so worried about what your friend's doing, is there like a word for that?
A Karen. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, I haven't had that issue since. But I'm like, if it ever happens in the future, I need to know like how to handle it. So
I think here's what you can do.
Okay.
Next time someone's like, hey, she's new, but don't worry, I'm going to help her. That's when you stop it before it starts. And you're like, you know what? It's her first class. Let her have her own experience.
Okay.
Don't help her.
Right.
And it's happening during class, just stand right next to them. Use your body language to make them really uncomfortable.
That's good.
I would literally stand in front of her yoga mat and just smile and talk. And so like walk between them, hover around them, make them uncomfortable.
That's a really good idea. 'Cause then I'm not like calling her out and, you know, attacking her in class. Well, not that Christina is like the most diplomatic person I know. So this is why I need to ask her this, 'cause she handles situations so incredibly. I've watched her.
I don't know how I would do that, because I feel like I'm just blunt. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
No,
let's do this.
You do it in a way where no one feels like, you know,
at least
chastised.
I hope not.
No, you're so good. I admire you so much for that, because I've witnessed it firsthand. I'm like, she's so diplomatic. She handles situations so well.
It's funny,
but
too.
But you don't let people walk over you at all.
I think there's a couple of teachers who feel awkward telling people that their package is out and they need to buy a class package. And
sorry, my mind went somewhere else.
What did you think?
Because you talked in past episodes about like men and their short shorts.
What are you talking about?
You said about people telling people their package is out.
I would never tell a man his package was out. Oh my God. No, the like class membership.
tell me how you handle that, Christina.
First of all, if someone's package is out, I would just be stunned. But if their membership is out, I think some teachers are shy. And so then I have to be like, no, tell them their package. Oh my gosh. We're gonna end it there.
Okay.
That's so good. Thank you for coming on my little podcast.
You're welcome.
I love you, JoJel. You guys follow her on Instagram. Come take her classes if you're in Boise. I just adore you.
I adore you too. Thank you, Christina.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit.
There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.